Today's reading is John 13, 34, 35. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. For the word of God, for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this opportunity to sing your praises, to be inspired by beautiful music. And Lord, we are so grateful for the talents of our musicians, our choir, our praise team, and our worship leader, Kip, for the gentlemen that are providing sound for us, for our hospitality, for our worship facilitator. Lord God, for all these that help us to worship you, we give you thanks. And now, Holy One, we ask that our hearts will be open as we meditate on your word this morning. And as we close that meditation with a holy meal together, Lord God, may our worship be worthy of you, a fragrant offering to show our love. It's in love, Lord, that we pray. Amen. So, something big happened this past week. There was a series of jurisdictional conferences all over our country in the United Methodist Church. We Methodists have a lot of conferences. And jurisdictional conference is sort of a special one. That's the conference where people get together and they pick bishops, new bishops, reappoint other bishops. And just to let you know, Bishop Bob Farr is going to be our bishop for the next quadrennium or the next jurisdictional conference, whichever comes first. But he will be serving us again, and so I bring that to you with great joy. I think we need to give God the glory for that. There's a wonderful picture, and I wish I couldn't have gotten it for you, but I just saw it basically before I came to worship this morning. And that is, there's our current bishop standing with former bishops of the Missouri Conference. There's Bishop Ann Shear, who is retired, and Bishop Robert Schnazy, who also was reappointed to the Rio, Texas Conference, where he is serving now. Now, Bishop Schnazy is of importance to us in this series because we are actually inspired and looking at his insights into the spiritual practice known as extravagant generosity, in which he's written quite a few books about. Now, Bishop Schnazy, Bishop Shear, and Bishop Farr, God bless them. I think to be a good bishop, you practice extravagant generosity. Amen? And the sharing of your time, treasure, and talent, I'm thinking these people do a wonderful job, and they inspire us to do likewise. So let's talk a little bit about generosity. I think if I said, what's generosity all about, everybody would have a different answer, but I think it would revolve around the same thing. Generosity is sharing, right? It's sharing what we have. Now, there could be a Christian emphasis on what generosity is all about. And I like to think of it as an unselfish willingness to share of ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures, to transform this world in a positive way with the purpose of sharing Jesus Christ. And what's extravagant generosity? Well, that is a sharing and a giving that goes beyond regular generosity, that surprises even the giver, and it's a sharing, it's a giving that serves God and serves neighbor. That's what extravagant generosity is about. And extravagant generosity shines a light on really how we love each other. Last week we shared how the practice of extravagant generosity, both as individuals and as the church, actually allows us to see what the spiritual health and vitality of who we are and who our church is by looking at how things are transformed by that generosity. You could say that the more open we are to practicing extravagant generosity, the better our spiritual EKG reads. Amen? It's love. It's love that undergirds extravagant generosity. But I seek to question that this morning. As the musical prophet Tina Turner once sang, what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? I mean, really, do we share out of unselfish motives? Or do we share because, you know, well, it's a good thing. It's a duty. And we may get something out of it. And we look forward to that getting something out of it. Why do we engage in extravagant generosity? Is it really all about the love? Friends, I confess to you, and I'm going to share in just a little bit, that was something that I struggled with when I personally came back to church with my family. I could really get into Bible study. I loved going to worship, singing in the choir at my home church. I loved doing all sorts of different things. But that giving thing, what's love got to do with it? Well, what I hope to share with you is that love has everything to do with extravagant generosity. Let's put up that one slide, gents. Now, you're looking at a doorway here. And that's a very interesting container that you see there. In the home of my Jewish brothers and sisters, they put up this little container in a doorway, not only on their front door, but on the interior doorways of a lot of their rooms in their home. And inside that little container is something called a mezuzah. And a mezuzah is a scroll that is rolled up and put into that container, but it has writing on it. And the writing is important. It's an important teaching from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. And that is the Shema. And so I will say the Shema, and I'm hoping these words will be familiar to you. Hear, O Israel, know that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. In my friends' homes, when you go through a doorway, you will touch your fingers to the mezuzah casing and recite the Shema, always to remind yourself, no matter where you go, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and might. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, gentlemen. Now, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus talks a lot about the Shema, but he combines it with a portion of Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus does something really important when he combines the Shema, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and might, with love your neighbor as yourself, and something that we call the Great Commandment. And that is, Jesus equates loving other people with loving God on equal ground. In the Gospel of John, they don't articulate the Great Commandment like they do in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but John is all over talking about, he just talks about love constantly. And you heard that today in the scripture that Carrie shared with us today. Jesus says, you shall love one another. Like it's a new commandment. But maybe it's a reframing of what they've learned so far. You shall love one another. And you don't just love one another. You know, you don't just pass and go, love you, man. You don't love them privately. No, you love people out loud. How do we know we're supposed to love people out loud? Because Jesus says, others will know that you are my followers by the way that you love one another. I think that today's scripture is one of the most beautiful expressions of but really a definition of what extravagant generosity is. And that is, we are to love one another. So if you've learned anything in this series on extravagant generosity, always come back to this one. To be extravagantly generous is to love one another. Because we struggle with love, don't we? Part of who we are, we kind of fight against that. Oh, we love our family, we love our friends, our co-workers, those we know, but what does it really mean to be open to love? Especially when it comes to giving. Bishop Schneezy lists up two different attitudes about our possessions that I thought was fascinating and cuts a little bit too close to home. One attitude is this about all the stuff that we own, our homes, our cars, our DVDs, our televisions, all those things. And that is, our possessions are ours. We earned it. We paid for it, or people have given them to us because we deserve it. Everything that we have is ours and free to use as what we should. I mean, that's ours, right? That's how when I came back to church as a younger adult, that was where my heart was. Everything is mine. And so if a church asks for money, it's like, oh. If a charity asks for money, oh. You know, of course I'll do something, and I'll give a little bit. And you know, if I give something and my hard-earned money, then by golly, God should be grateful. But there's another attitude about possessions that may be revolutionary for us. And that is our possessions, our houses, our cars, our stuff, they belong to God. And we are the ones who should be grateful to be taking care of God's possessions. And that when we give, then we are giving back to God what God already owns. And we are wise stewards of God's possessions. That's why when we save, when we earn, when we spend, we really care to do those things wisely, because it's not ours. It's God's. Now, which attitude do you think Jesus lifts up the most? Yeah, it's the second one, isn't it? But oh, doesn't it cut a little close to home? It did me. I know I've shared this with you before, but this was a profound thing for this pastor to really come to understand what giving is all about. Because, friends, I would hold on to things. I don't know, in my financial background, if somehow I learned to hold on to things out of protectiveness or what, but it was difficult for me to give. I gave a little bit, but that proportional giving, that tithing type of thing, it was tough because, number one, couldn't afford it. Number two, even if I could, I got other things. Kind of me first. But thankfully, for the people of my home church that taught me to love, I grew in love of them and grew in love of God and neighbor, and I went more, I'm still struggling at times, from me first, me and mine, to God first. Because it's all about the love. When we give, we are giving back to God what is already God's. And we are just caretakers of God's property. Revolutionary, huh? Maybe. Because I will tell you that there are people who believe that and have given that and have been extravagant givers in this congregation. This is All Saints Sunday, where we remember and we celebrate those that have gone and are with God now in heaven. And they have changed our lives because they gave of themselves. They shared their lives with us. They shared their treasures with us. They shared their wonderful personality, their talents with us. But I want to take a little bit of time now, a little appreciation time, to remind us of what I think that we may take for granted. And that is how we are recipients of the extravagant generosity of our saints, both those that are with God now in heaven and those that are alive right now. So are you ready, church? Because I'm going to do a little traveling. This sanctuary in which you are all sitting, those of you that are watching online, this was built somewhere in the late 1980s, I do believe. It was built out of the extravagant generosity of others. And when I talk about extravagant generosity, they gave beyond their tithes and offerings that they shared offering time. Okay? This has been renovated many times. When I came to this place, it was filled with pink. Pink carpet everywhere. Do y'all remember that? And in that time, because of extravagant generosity, then the walls were painted, the floor was recarpeted, this was all inlaid with wood paneling. That happened because of extravagant generosity. At that time, we purchased this organ, because the other one was worn out. And haven't we been blessed by the playing of Charlotte and Carolyn over the years? This organ was purchased by the extravagant generosity. I know, because some of you said it's going to go to the organ. Purchased this organ at a time when most churches were giving organs up. But we took care of it. This wonderful grand piano that Kathy so wonderfully plays. Isn't it amazing? Its purchase, its care is done most often with extravagant generosity, giving beyond regular offerings. Is this a kawai? Is that how you pronounce that, Sam? This keyboard that Sam plays, also given through that. How we can stream our worship online, for those of you that are worshiping online, how we can have sound, all of those things. I would say a majority of what is purchased up in that sound and media booth was done through the extravagant giving of others beyond regular tithes and offerings. And that is amazing, and I just want to thank you for that. Now, I'm not going to travel too far now, but we're going to have a little slideshow. So, gents, let's bring it up. Yeah, look at all these other places. If you come to worship and don't travel, you're going to have a travelogue now. Here are some of our classrooms. That's Connect Room 1, formerly the Nomads, and Hannah's Sisters. Here is the prayer group and the Bible study group. Lives are being changed here. People are learning about extravagant generosity here. Our choir room, where our choir practices on Sunday mornings. That's our history hall, definitely given by the time and the talents and the money of a group of people that did something amazing. There's our hub. How many of you have enjoyed the hub? Woohoo! Let's keep it on there for a second. Go back. When I got here, that area was a lounge and a series of offices. And where you're seeing, especially on kind of that left-hand side, well, you would have seen a wall there and a hallway. All the walls were torn down. A big old hole was knocked in the wall so we could see the courtyard. And that's transformation that was accomplished through extravagant generosity. Thank you. You can go on. Here's our nursery and our young children area here that was painted and provided by people. There's our elementary classroom. There's our youth classroom. And here we are going into the RCLC, the Robbins Christian Life Center. By the way, there was a renovation done in that area, new furniture, a new place, a tech port up there for people to plug in their computers, chairs, paid for by the extravagant generosity of all of you, but paid out of, from their extravagant generosity, our youth group, out of their checking account. They're the ones that renovated that area. And look, oh, go back. Look at that blue room back there. You can see some blue walls and such, but I invite you to take a look at all those wonderful tiles that are up in the ceiling, given by the sharing of talent and time of our youth in years past. Isn't it amazing? Now we can go on. Oh, yes, the Robbins Christian Life Center on the right. Boy, we know that was takes some extravagant generosity. Not once, but twice has that been renovated in the last 8 or 9 years. Once because we thought it'd be a great idea, and the other because, you know, there was a big flood. And so, thankful of that. But I invite you to look at that kitchen. There's a lot of life that's lived in that kitchen alone. It is awesome. That's a special place. That little metal table on the other side, I love going back there and just hanging out with people. It's that kitchen that was the nerve center of our Wednesday night dinners. It's that kitchen that serves as the nerve center for our funeral dinners. And by the way, United Women of Faith, you're not meeting Tuesday because that's when we're preparing a funeral dinner for the Pulliam family. So I want to let you know that, but that's possible by that wonderful kitchen. Given all by extravagant generosity. Thank you, gentlemen, for the slideshow. And now we come to the mountain. We were wanting to gather 400 cans. Thanks to Barb Bennett really upping the ante. We now have a mountain of 517, is that correct? You didn't have to bring in a can, but you did. This is extravagant generosity. And look over here, Operation Christmas Child. Last week we had a packing party. It was amazing and awesome. And people gave money so that these boxes can be shipped. And it's going to grow next week. We're going to be blessing these boxes next week. And so I just want to invite you all to notice how we're doing. This is extravagant generosity. And the last thing I'd like to share in this appreciation time, our table ministry, which is going to have its second worship service this coming Wednesday, it was awesome. 20 people that came to worship on Wednesday night, paid for by the extravagant generosity of church members here who have helped us to pay rent for that. And that's just amazing too. And I'm so grateful to that act of extravagant generosity. It's all about love. Love has everything to do with extravagant generosity. Someone who knew this well was pastor, theologian, and founder of our Christian faith tribe of Methodism, John Wesley, who had this was his definition of extravagant generosity. I want us to say this together. I want us to stand and say this together. Some of you know these words well, but it's all good for all of us to take this to heart. Say this with me. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen. You may be seated. Can you hear the love in those words? Because for John Wesley, extravagant generosity is doing good in the best way that you can for all the people you can for as long as you can. And friends, that's my prayer and dream for all of us as we consider what has been freely given to us that we can freely give for the purposes of Jesus Christ in this world. I'm hoping that you will be set on fire by the Spirit of God and the passion of Jesus Christ to open your heart to practicing extravagant generosity in whichever way God is calling you. That's my prayer for all of us this day. And I know that we can do mighty things by what we share. What's love got to do with it? I don't have to say anything more. By the way, for those of you online, they said everything. And darn tootin', they were right. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.